Hello, my name is Steve Masler from TroutU.com, and I would like to welcome you to our Cyber Guide series of trout fishing related podcasts. These podcasts will generally discuss in-depth and advanced topics on trout fishing. So, now on to our podcast. In this podcast, we will be examining the Quill Gordon mayflies. The Quill Gordon nymphs are clingers. For most of a Quill Gordon's life, until nearly the time of the hatch, they stay hidden down between and under the rocks on the bottom of the fast water runs and riffles. They are not readily available for trout to eat while hidden in the rocks. A few days before they begin to hatch, they move from their fast water habitat to slower moving water. Often this is behind large rocks and boulders near the fast water. Trout are very aware of this short migration of the nymphs and take advantage of them during this time when it is very easy for them to do so. If they are not eaten by the trout, the nymphs remain there until they are ready to hatch. Unlike most mayflies, the Quill Gordon's wings pop out of their wing pads and the shuck comes off the nymph on the bottom or somewhere between the bottom and the surface of the water. In other words, they hatch underwater, not on the surface of the water. The length of time these nymphs are in this transformation process varies greatly depending on the weather and its effect on the water temperature. After their wings are fully developed and it is time for them to hatch, they will do so provided the water temperature has reached at least 50 degrees and has remained there for a short time. If the water temperature remains stable and doesn't drop, they will continue to hatch. If it drops, the ones with wing pads about to open will continue to hatch. Those not fully developed will remain nymphs until the water temperatures increase. All the Quill Gordon mayflies in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, for example, don't hatch at the same time. Normally, the water temperature is lower in the higher the elevations of the stream. Provided the water temperature doesn't drop drastically, all the Quill Gordon mayflies in any one given area of a stream will hatch within a week or two. Those at higher elevations will usually follow those hatching at the lower elevations. The entire hatch can last a month to a month and a half, depending on the stream and the weather. Not all the water in all the streams in the park, for example, have Quill Gordon mayflies. It depends on the habitat. In fact, on any one stream, you may find them hatching in one short section and not hatching in another section. For example, you won't find them hatching in long, deep pools with slower moving water. Just because you happen to fish an area of a stream after the hatch has started and fail to see any Quill Gordon mayflies doesn't mean they are not hatching some other place. Anglers that have fished the hatch for years know which areas have heavy hatches and which areas don't. Even so, at any one point in time, the hatch may or may not be occurring in that particular area. The hatch takes place during the warmest part of the day. Normally this is around 2 o'clock p.m., but can vary any time during the afternoon. It normally lasts less than a couple of hours in any one area. Up until the hatch starts, you want to be fishing an imitation of the Quill Gordon nymph. When you first start seeing the duns come off the water, you should change to an imitation of the emerging nymph or wet fly. When the hatch is fully in process, you may want to change to a dun or dry fly. The dry fly may or may not be effective depending on how active the trout are and how aggressively the trout are feeding. It is much easier for trout to eat the emergers. Normally, imitations of the emerging nymphs are far more effective than dun imitations. Even so, many anglers still prefer to fish the dry fly because it is more exciting to do so. Now we'll move on to the nymph presentation. Normally, we try two different methods of presenting imitations of the Quill Gordon nymph. We fish the fly in the fast water runs on the bottom using what is locally called the high stick-in method, and we fish it using an up and across presentation in the calmer areas of the pocket water where the nymphs move to hatch. If the nymphs have moved from the fast water, this is the most effective method. Either way you present the nymphs, make sure you keep the fly on or very near the bottom. Clinger nymphs do not swim. They stay right on the bottom, clinging to the rocks even in the fast water. We normally start fishing this fly a couple of weeks before the Quill Gordons start to hatch. After the hatch starts, we fish it in the morning and up until they start hatching. Trout eat far more of the emerging Quill Gordon nymphs than the duns or spinners. The reason is simple. it is much easier for them to do so. The emerging nymphs are concentrated in small areas, well exposed for a lengthy amount of time and unable to escape. Up until the time they begin to hatch, they stay well hidden down between and under rocks on the bottom of the fast water runs and riffles. When it is time for them to hatch, they move to areas of slower moving water that is close to their fast water habitat. Since they don't hatch on the surface of the water like most mayflies, we didn't develop perfect fly emerger imitations that float in the surface skim. Instead, we developed a wet fly imitation of the emerging dun. We call this fly an emerging adult. It imitates the insect after the trailing shuck has come off and the wings have popped out. This transformation starts taking place on the bottom, and the nymph completes its change to a dun while it is still in the bottom or somewhere between the bottom and the surface of the water. The thorax of the emerging adult is dubbed. Soft hackle is used for the tail and legs. Like all of our non-drake mayflies, this one has a goose or turkey byet for its abdomen. The back of the abdomen is covered with deer hair, which is secured to the byet with fine wire. The reason the deer hair is added to increase the buoyancy of the fly. It is designed to be fished with an added small amount of split-shot type weight placed on the tippet a few inches above the fly. This allows the fly to float above the weight. When the weight is on the bottom, the fly is suspended just above the bottom. During the drift, the fly can be brought all the way to the surface of the current seams, imitating the newly hatched dun ascending to the surface to dry its wings. Trout take the fly anywhere from the bottom to the surface. You want to start fishing this fly when you first start seeing duns come off the water during the earliest part of the hatch. Progress in an upstream direction just like you would fishing a dry fly. Use an upstream or slightly up and across presentation. Do not fish the fly directly in the fast water runs and riffles. Fish it on the slow side of the current seams formed by pockets behind rocks and boulders. You want the fly to start out in the slow water and come down the current seams formed by the fast water on each side of the pockets. Some pockets may exist against the banks of the streams. Be sure to fish those too, bringing the fly out of the slow-moving water in the pocket into the current seams along the edges of the pockets. Allow the fly to reach the bottom on the cast, but slowly bring it back to the surface during the drift. When it reaches the surface for a few seconds at the end of the drift, make another cast. In large pockets, you may want to make several casts to cover all the slower-moving water in the pocket. In smaller pockets, you only need to bring the fly down each of the two current seams. You can use a small strike indicator if you must. We prefer to fish it without one. It is fairly easy to detect the takes by watching the end of your fly line and leader for odd movements. The line will either stop or move unnaturally with the current. You can also feel some of the takes through the rod. Use a fairly short leader, not over 9 feet long, including the tippet. You want to get as close to the pockets as you can without spooking or alerting the trout of your presence. If the pocket is behind a large boulder, slip up behind it using it as cover. If you're fishing shallow riffles, you will need to make longer casts to keep from spooking the trout. I don't know anyone that likes fishing a wet fly better than a dry fly. Wet fly presentation isn't the easiest method to use. It takes a lot of concentration and well-placed casts. However, especially during the early part of the Quill Gordon hatch, or any time the water is very cold, hanging around 50 degrees or under, the dry fly may not be very effective. You will usually catch far more trout using the wet fly. The trout may not feed very aggressively on the surface. When they do, and they will, we change to an imitation of the dun. The dun is the stage of life of the Quill Gordon mayfly that excites most anglers. The dun is what they mostly see on the streams and identify the insect from. They are fairly large mayflies, but about as plain, colorless, and ugly as a mayfly can get. Often you can see them drifting on the surface of the water. Often you see that they are not being eaten doing that, which is the only problem. Trout don't always eat them, especially when they first start hatching. Sometimes, anglers may say the trout are not used to seeing flies on the surface when that happens. Some will say the trout aren't looking up yet. However, if you pay attention to the eyes of a trout, you will notice they can't help but look up. They are always looking up. What is occurring is that the trout can eat all of the mayflies they want during the time that they are emerging with a lot less effort. That is why the emerger imitation always outperforms the dun. Another reason is that often the water is only around 50 degrees, and maybe even less if it happened to have dropped during the hatch. That just reduces the surface feeding activity because, in simple terms, the trout are still a little too cold to be very active. You will still be able to catch them on the surface every once in a while, even when the water is that cold. It just isn't as effective of a method as it would be fishing below the surface. The thing that makes this mayfly important and the most talked about mayfly is the fact that it is the first one that brings much exciting action on the dry fly. The cold water and air temperatures don't allow the mayfly's wings to dry very fast, and as a result, they sometimes have to ride the surface a rather lengthy amount of time compared to other mayflies. The blue quills, which are hatching at about the same time, bring on decent dry fly action, but the hatch is more difficult to fish and the flies are not as large. There's just something about large insects that excite anglers more than they excite the trout, however. Now we'll examine the dun presentation. When you start seeing duns on the surface and trout begin to eat them, change to a dun imitation. It is fairly easy to determine when the trout begin to eat them on the surface. You can see and hear them. Fish the dun up and across, making a lot of short casts. You want to place the fly near the ends of the current seams and allow it to drift drag-free down the stream just below the pockets. Keeping the fly in the bubbles is a great way to ensure that you have the fly in the right place. Don't forget about the edges of the current seams along the banks. Not all of the quill gordons hatch out in the pockets behind rocks and boulders. You want the dun to drift in the faster-moving water, not the slow water of the pockets. Just in case you are wondering about it, quill gordons don't hatch in pools. When the trout takes the dun imitation, you will know it. It can be very exciting dry fly fishing. If it is the right time of the day for the quill gordons to be hatching, generally the warmest part of the day, don't waste a lot of time in any one place if you're not catching trout. Move around to different areas of the stream. You may find an entirely different situation 50 yards away. In fact, if you don't have a clue where to fish on the stream or where they may be hatching, you may need to move around a great deal in a fairly long distance within that short time period to find them. The quill gordon spinners fall in the same fast water habitat they hatch from. It usually starts late in the afternoon after the mayflies have stopped emerging. This is not always the case. If the skies are cloudy or it is raining lightly, the spinners from previous days' hatches may begin to fall before the hatch has ended. However, this is the exception, not the rule. Spinners mate high above the fast water of the ripples and runs. This occurs at about treetop height, and if you are not looking straight up above the stream, you will not see them. The male spinners fall from the sky as soon as they mate. Some of them land in the water, and some don't. The females return to the bushes and trees until their eggs are ready to deposit. Normally, the egg-laying activity starts about 5 or 6 p.m. It takes place in a short period of time, but it can last into the early evening. The females deposit their eggs on the surface of the water and then fall into water. They quickly collect in the current seams and head downstream to where they collect in eddies, the tail ends of runs and riffles, and heads of the pools. At the time of day this is occurring, it is nearly impossible to see the spinners on the water. They float flush on the surface of the water. If you want to verify that they are in the water, you can skim the surface with a net, but this isn't necessary. If you will start looking for them high above the stream at the right time of day, you will see them. If you catch a quill gordon about the time they should be falling, you will probably see that it is a spinner, not a dun. Trout take the spinners at the very ends of the current seams where the water slows down. It is not easy to see the trout taking them. They don't crash the spinners like the duns, they just sip them in. If the water is fairly smooth, you may see a rise ring, but not very often. Now we'll check out the spinner presentation. You want to fish spinner imitations of the quill gordon below the ripples and runs in the slower moving water. They will tend to collect in the calmer water, such as edges along the banks, eddies, and the heads of pools. The trout can examine the spinners as much as they want to. You need to use a longer and lighter leader than you would for the dun imitations. Try a 5X or 6X tippet that is at least 3 feet long. The up and across presentation usually works for the spinners, but it depends on the area you are trying to cast to. In some cases, you may need to use a down and across presentation. Just make sure you get a drag-free drift. You will probably need to make longer casts than you normally would. It isn't easy to get very close to the trout in the type of water they take the spinners in without spooking them. The hen feathers we use to make the spinner's spent wings take on a clear, translucent appearance when they are wet and floating on the surface of the water. We have tested every type of synthetic material that we know of for mayfly spinner wings. We have yet to find anything, synthetic or natural, that resembles the wings of a mayfly spinner better than hen feathers. The tails of the spinners are the same length as the real Quill Gordon spinner tails. Notice there are two split tails just like the real spinners. The trout get a good look at spinners before they sip them in. The fly you use should be drifting slowly in the same smooth water as the real spinners. That is why it is important for the fly to be shaped as closely as possible to the real ones. Finally, many anglers ignore the Quill Gordon spinner fall. They stop fishing when the hatch ends. Occasionally, you will be able to catch more trout from the spinner fall than the hatch. Well, that concludes our podcast on the Quill Gordons, and I hope you enjoyed it and can use this to fish more effectively. Be sure to check out our Perfect Fly brand flies and other trout fishing related items in our online store located at troutu.com/store.